Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, apparently, Glenn Alexander, I think you were actually on mute for the first 6 minutes of the show there. I do have you on muted right now. You guys are listening to Project U Radio present Spectral Ganglia open mic. I'm one-third of your hosts, I guess, Mr. Frankie Vetro, and Lynn, I do believe you're 724. You are unmuted at the moment. Or perhaps you're not. I'm not even sure if I'm unmuted right now. So we're going to jump right into our first caller, which is 614 area code. Lynn, of course, or 724, whoever you are unmuted. So you can go on there. And 701, I saw you on the line, so please feel free to jump back in at any time there. Let's go with 614. You are live.
Yes, hello.
Hello, who do we have here?
I have something to read. Is that what we're doing, right?
Yes, that is what we're doing. Can you please identify yourself?
Yes, my name is Nathan. I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, hi. How you doing, Nathan?
Hey. I thought I'd read something. It's a collaborative work. It's part of a series that I wrote with a poet from Beaumont, Texas, named William Fane Roby. This is the collection is called House, and it's a poem for every room in the house. This is called Garage. So I'll go ahead and start.
Cool. Go for it.
We keep cleaning the garage. We keep having yard sales. What do you want? This oak dining room table in the Regency style. This catalytic converter. It has no style, but it's worth a few pints. All puffed up down to the bar he was every night, the scoundrel. Glad he sucked the car off like that. Glad he ate it from a hose right here in this garage. We keep cleaning fumes out. They squeak and separate. It makes us squeamish. Drop the price. Could fit both your cars in here, though. Sure thing. What do you want? Piles of liquor licenses, expired jury notice, brittle mail on brittle paper, bags of rice thrown at our wedding. What do you want? Or, if nothing, maybe these 78s, Enrico Caruso? We need you. We need your slip of reason to slip past the end of the driveway, some way to watch Austin City Limits without hearing dogs barking. Old plug over there could half kill you. We need you and your electrician's license. We keep clearing the garage, putting down the dance floor of the dead, calling up spirits and kooks and goblins from where they mold in the lowest position, here to do the hustle, do the swim, the locomotion, to drink gin until the room's four walls thin to four biscuits. Then, and only then, will his boots meet two Hamiltons. Escape wit was handed down, the script that Hunter's Blood wrote from hanging deer. isolate and reply. They rooted them out. One person's disorder is another's dollar. Surround the yellow house. Think April like April thought. That baby food jar of screws, that old remote, these were his tools. We're keeping those.
Sorry, did you get cut off there, man?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Did we get cut off?
Yeah, unfortunately, it looks like somebody else is logged into the host session as well. So, 724, I am bringing you back on the line.
Sorry.
But, 614, man, I do apologize about that. I'm not really sure where you stopped off there, to be honest with you. But
yeah,
I did want to tell you that I really, really enjoyed that poem. It was excellent. I really enjoyed the fact that you're taking all these things, like the rice that was thrown at the wedding and what have you. I mean, you're using an aesthetic that's it's an aesthetic of metaphor for how the marriage and how the life that the two are sharing has become sort of objectified. And now you're just, it's like shelling off dead layers of skin that have built up over the years between the two, almost.
Yeah, thanks.
No, it's really good, man, really good.
Sorry, we got cut off, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? Since you did get cut off, how about you read us one more? Just give us one more, and then 415 will come to you next. But, yeah, please, read another, man.
All right, let me do a short one then. Let me find a short. Let me just get a short one here. I'll do basement. Are we still on?
Hi. You know what? I actually had to dial back in as a guest, if you can believe this. It's not letting me. On as the host line. So I actually am.
No.
I had to kind of call in. I don't know what's going on. I apologize. This is terrible.
It's okay. But Nathan was just going to break us off another poem. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, it's all good. You're here. I'm glad you're here. So.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'll do a short one this time. It'll be really short, I promise. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, sure can, man.
All right. This is Basement, and this is from the collection called House. This is Basement. Found a rat terminated on the dirt part where the radon leaks. Kids graffiti abstracted under stair slats, all fey and twee and belligerent. An easel canvas, years unfinished, where shaped gray becomes blue-black. The hole behind the TV cabinet? Tunnels the city's built above. Some catacombs under the jail, a sewer under Walgreens, or just a trail to other people's dungeons of stuff. In the crawl space where boxed bruises throb, there's Olivia's propeller, still postmarked. No use unwrapping that now. No luck with heat equations. The furnace fears uniforms. Water heater near the box where 6 teacup Yorkies were born. Cramped square of sky riced above the window well where spiders come in. That's the end of that one.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Lynn?
No, it's cool, and it's good to hear from you, and I apologize for the chaos. Bad about it.
I like chaos. It's nice.
And the technical difficulties, and I apologize for that. I mean, no disrespect intended at all.
No. I don't take it like that.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Frankie.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah,
man.
Sorry I got cut off.
No, you know what, man?
Is my phone or
it
what?
It happens. We actually have another show called Draconian Vampire Tunnel. It's close to repairs, and sometimes I think that works on different levels because when we do run into situations with live radio like you do, it just kind of covers the whole basis. So we're just going to call it that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we're just close to repairs. There are repairs, but hey, the message still gets out there the same, you know?
Right.
Nathan, can you let everybody know where they can find you and find some of your work at?
Yeah, I'm at Exhaust Fumes and French Fries is my blog, and I post a lot of stuff there. So, and you can find me on Facebook.
I love the name of that blog, Exhaust Fumes and French Fries. Yeah,
it's what Columbus, Ohio smells like when the weather gets warm.
We love Ohio here at the Literary Underground, so we appreciate Ohio poets coming on and sharing their work, man. I tell you what, please feel free to hang out. We might actually come back around.
I will.
Yeah, definitely. All right, cool. We're going to move on to our next caller of the evening, which is area code 415. Yeah, been waiting very patiently. I do appreciate that. Number to call in, of course, everybody, 805-856. 2808 and area code 415. You are live.
Man, it's I'm the third wheel host of this show, man.
No.
I gotta call. I gotta get in.
I'm actually glad you're here. Well, I got a bone to pick with you, sir.
I can't begin to imagine which direction this is gonna go in.
Well, you know, someone posted a video yesterday of a group called Broken Bells. Featuring lead vocals of the Shins, an Albuquerque band, as well as Mr. Danger Mouse. And someone made a reference to how they thought that it was strange that Danger Mouse and Frankie Metro were never seen in the same room together.
Never in the same place at the same time together. I'm just saying.
I watched that video, man, and now I've been on a Broken Bells trip for like the last 2 days. And it's been,
they are infectious and addictive, and again, there's those catchy little songs get inside your skull and you can't get them out. Which
yeah.
I can't.
And they'll be on the show tomorrow night as well. They will be on.
Excellent. It's fine music. It's fine music to be having in. That's getting the Shins and getting the guy from the Shins and Danger Mouse together was one of the better musical moves we've seen go down in the last few years.
I agree, sir. And I got to tell you that as a Albuquerquean, I do have a little issue with the Shins because there is a rumor going around that they don't actually claim the fact that they're from Albuquerque, that they actually like to say they're from Portland. And
very bad.
They say they have actually canceled shows here because of that fact, I believe. I'm not really sure on the specifics on that, but I'm proud to be in Albuquerque, and I don't know about those guys. It's kind of lame.
From what I understand, Albuquerque is a fine town, I'm hoping to get to see it someday very soon as well.
Yeah, we are as well, sir. So,
when can we?
Yeah, you know what? I think we should leave that up to the head CEO of the Literary Underground, Ms. Michelle McDonald, and her plans with Zyfez 2. I did my best in Chicago, as did Ms. Lynn Alexander, to coax the idea of having the event in Albuquerque. As well as many other people, they were pretty much down for that. So hopefully we can work that out and get some more.
I'd love to see that pan out. I think that would work out best for everybody.
I agree. Mr. Paul Corman Roberts, since you're on the program,
shall I throw something down? Shall I read?
You already know.
Throw something down.
Definitely.
This is a little piece I wrote late last year called What's Strange. Maybe finding a possum-sized cricket bleeding out on my kitchen linoleum wasn't the strangest part. Or maybe it was strange the way it felt like it was reading my mind as I stared at its dying immobilization, a critical nervous function damaged, causing its mandibles to slowly flex open and shut, as if trying to speak. Perhaps stranger than that was the way it stared back at me, almost communicating some strange empathy across the short space between us, looking much more like an extraterrestrial sentience inhabiting a carapace UFO, or the vibrato squeal the mutant emitted just before my 21-pound Maine Coon finally finished off the job he started, which I then cleaned up. Maybe that was stranger still. But then I took the specimen to the taxidermist the next day. 1 week later, She assured me by phone that I could pick up my preserved specimen in 2 days. 2 days later, I arrived at the taxidermist shop to find the building shuttered and empty, with no forwarding address or contact information. The phone number I had kept dropping into a voicemail that never picked up. Now that was fucking strange.
You're fucking strange.
Oh, that's so
funny. Well, yeah.
Oh, but we love you.
Oh, thanks. Well, I love you guys too.
I'm just glad I'm here. I'm glad that Frankie figured things out, because I'm on as a host and a guest. This is strange.
that's my permanent status. I'm always host and guest.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, you know, it's the literary underground. We like to share. we don't advocate sharing, you know, strange bodily fluids or anything, but still.
Only familiar ones.
Exactly.
Oh, we don't. We don't advocate that. Okay.
Maybe we changed that policy. We may have actually changed that recently. I'm not sure. I have to check the employee handbook, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I love that poem.
That anyway.
I love that poem. I was going to say that you guys got me talking about Albuquerque, and I wanted to throw my own little gauntlet in here. Before I do, I did want to tell everybody out there there's plenty of room on the line, so you can call in 805-856-2808. But since we were talking about Albuquerque and Shins and what have you, this is one that I wrote recently. It's called Albuquerque Hard Fucker Poem. Here it goes. If Hector's going to make it, then he needs to come here, dog. There's no way he can go solo in California. Too many ink bangers as is. No one gives a shit if your cyst explodes. It's Saturday night. Quit your bitching. Man up. Go to work. Pussy. And that's it. There you go.
Sounds like my kind of town.
It is. You got to be hard. You got to be a hard fucker to live in the Berkey. So you got to be. Speaking of hard fuckers, I do see that Mr. Sigerson is in the chat room. Mr. Sigerson, formerly of the Latin Street Gang MS-13. we have gang tags and whatnot in Literary Underground, but Sigerson, please feel free to call in and tell us some of your old war stories from the gang. I don't know. I think Lynn Alexander should read a poem since she was late. What do you think, Paul?
Well, you know what? In my defense, I wasn't late. It was telling me that I was already called in, and so I kept putting in the – never mind. Never mind.
Your voice was late. So there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. You know what? Let's see. You know, I should do one about Frankie Metro. How about for revenge?
No!
It's called Metro's Flying Standby. All right. That's right, because, you know, he always is. That Metro's never in a suit when he has revolution call you, and he's expecting you to pick up, step up, and be cool. He's got this love, man. You could see it in his hands. You could hear it in his voice when he's all like, pick up, step the fuck up, and be cool. He's flying standby, gonna crash the coach, gonna prep the cage with a blowtorch. Bend the bars, we're gonna slip out from the side. We're gonna jelly roll, melon cold, rock and roll, hobbit hole, whack-a-mole, hit the pole, hit the shitter, hit the road. Just pick up, step up, go. Cash that scratch like a pool pro. Catch that rat like a Cujo. Astroglide, fetishize, synthesize, harmonize. Love you two times, then poke your damn eyes. Pick up, step up, slip out from the side. Take your tokens, take your ride. This bitch will not be televised. Metro's gonna tell you why, gonna shimmy in your mind. He's flying standby. Behind the bars, we're gonna slip out from the side. Pick up, step up, and be cool. Cause Metro's gonna call you, fool. He's flying standby. That's my Frankie Metro.
Whoa!
That's messed up. I know I'm messed up.
Oh, that was sick. That was ill.
I am messed up.
Wow.
Nice, Lynn. Very nice.
Yeah.
That's my Frankie Metro. Because, you know, he's always, like, putting the bug in your ear about, like, different ideas. He's always, like, you know.
He's an instigator. But
yeah.
We need instigators like
yeah.
Frankie.
Yeah, he's an instigator.
Because without the instigators like Frankie, stuff doesn't get done. Shit doesn't get done. That's what we have, Frankie.
That's right. Oh. You know, because, yeah, he puts that, like, bug in your ass, you know? And he gets you thinking.
I do like to put bugs in people's anal rectum areas sometimes, but that was really lovely. Thank you very much for that. Was awesome, actually. I dug the whole pick up, stick. I was like, wow.
Well, come on.
Like,
I'm crazy, man. I'm crazy.
Good.
I don't know what the hell I'm drinking tonight. I don't know.
Really good.
Picking the Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid.
Where are we going to see that poem at, Miss Lynn Alexander? Where are we going to find that at?
I don't know. My goddamn napkin? I don't know.
Okay, there we go. I'll take a picture of the napkin.
The Spectral Ganglia Archives, man.
you know what, Metro? I'm going to send you, like, my box of napkins and, you know.
Word. Sleeve of crackers, we'll call it square.
Sleeve of crackers, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm actually, you know what, I'm trying to coerce Frank Reardon to call up, and because I know he's out there. But, you know, he's doing something right now. So, yeah, I'm like trying to annoy him. Like,
he did. He called in for like 2 seconds, and then he heard my voice and hung up. So
I'm sure.
I saw you, Frank Reardon. That's all right. You're scared. It's okay, man. I understand.
The call out goes out.
I gotta call him out. You know what I'm saying, Frank? Frankie R. Haven't forgotten you, baby. And,
he's like a guerrilla soldier living in the Dakota Hills, man. He pops out when you least expect it, and like, wow, leaves his paint all over you when you least expect. Oh man, I just got franked. God.
You got franked.
But you know what?
Since Frank's, we'll wait on Frank. I do have one here. I just got in the mail, actually. Fresh from, Dog on a Chain Press. I just got Mike Mraz's new book, Watching It Burn.
Welcome, Mike.
Yeah.
He can't remember the band he was with. Oh, he was in the punk scene for a long time. But he's been putting out chapbooks for a long time now.
This shit's awesome, dude. I'm loving it. It's got photos in it. We got artwork. I'm digging on the poems. And I do have one here that I would really like to share with our listeners out there in the literary underground. That way they can get a feel for the book, of course. This one's called Rock Hard and Beautiful by Mike Mraz. Girls give me strange things in remembrance of their time with me. Seashells, colored stones, heart-shaped pebbles, tiny trinkets to show me they have cared. I hold them in my hand, waiting for them to bring me some sort of peace, a lasting forgiveness. I get nothing, but it is nice to see them on my dresser, in my coin pouch. Judy, Heather, Lindsay, all of them rock hard and beautiful. And that's a really beautiful poem, actually. I really dig that. Dig that a lot. What do you think of that, Lynn Alexander? What do you think of poems as such?
Well, first of all, what you said, it's which press is it? Dog on a Chain?
Yes, Dog on a Chain Press.
Where's that out of?
I believe actually Mr. Mike Mraz.
I mean, like, is he okay?
He lives in California, right? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I think I have him mixed up with somebody else. Cause they're. I'm thinking. You know, the one that had that little chap that was small and black.
That's the same one, actually.
That's the same guy, right? Okay.
Same guy.
I'm sorry.
No, Same guy. That is, he actually lives in Los Angeles, California.
Okay, cool. No, that was cool. I think that was cool. No, he's very talented. I ordered that little book. That's why I'm like, you know.
You haven't got your copy yet?
No, I do have it. I have it. Yeah, I do have it. I don't mean to be like obnoxious. It's just like I get so many. I order so many different books, and I get so many books, and then there's so many different presses. So I just am trying to just keep straight who we're talking about, you know. And for the record, you know, Frank claims he doesn't care how much we make fun of him. We can't seem to taunt him into participating. So I think we're just going to keep talking smack about him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what he wants.
Do that.
That's what he wants.
Yeah, seriously, you might as well give him what he wants. Like, I'm going to talk smack about him regardless, so.
I think it should be like a tradition. I think we should just, no matter what, we should just stop and, like, talk smack about Frank, you know. Well, we did actually.
It's almost like
we did the other night.
It's It's almost like Kwanzaa.
And not so much like Festivus.
Exactly.
No.
No feats of strength there.
No feats of strength. I don't know, Frank might be up for the feats of strength. It's the airing of grievances would probably be the highlight, though.
Oh, you know what? No, I could say so many things. We're going to leave that alone. We're going to tell everybody.
We're going to leave that alone. We have so many grievances to air. That's what the anger management revenge series is for. That's where the airing of grievances takes place.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Paul. Why don't you share with everybody a little bit about the anger management reading series?
Well, it's a little reading we do quarterly right now in San Francisco, home based out of the Viracocha at 998 Valencia Street. This is a little place that used to be a Santeria supply store. Yorba Botanica previously. And then prior to that, it was like a complete underground punk club back in the 80s. I have a lot of people who've told me, a lot of older folks who've told me they have seen the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the Dead Kennedys and Fear. And I can't remember the other Bay Area band that they would see play down in that basement quite a bit in the 80s. And then it became the Santeria Supply Store. And now the folks who ran the reading series, the Thursday night open reading at the 16th and Mission BART station, about 2 years ago now, they moved in. They managed to scrape some money together to make a down payment and try to take over. And so they took over the Santeria Supply Store with the blessing of the owners of the supply store were happy to sell it to them or make a deal to them. And they actually did their own little ritual blessing it for the future owners of the place. But apparently, when the 16th and Mission people got into the Viracocha building and got downstairs to the basement, there was a lot of goat and chicken blood on the floor to clean up and renovate the place. And today it looks fantastic. It looks like an old classic 20s speakeasy. And you go down these stairs into this acoustically perfect environment. And it's dark and everything's wooden, wood paneled and wood chairs and tables the sound system is fantastic. And it's
like
just
an anger shed.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful performance space. It's a competition to get in there, and we're just really lucky and fortunate, those of us who are in the Ninth Writers Collective out here in Oakland, are lucky to have a good relationship with those people. So we do this quarterly series, this quarterly reading there, where it's submission-based. We take submissions from all over the country. And you do not have to be present to perform or win. It's if your piece is chosen by the committee, then we get a proxy reader to perform it. We videotape it, and you know, bam, it goes on YouTube, and we send it to the author. They get to read, you know, if that's what they want. And we usually, you know, we get quality readings for our authors from across the country. But of course, a lot of the authors do make it to the reading, and also, you know, we get to see them perform and do their thing. And just each show just gets more, you know, progressively more successful. We've been really lucky and really blessed to just keep it going. I think the secret for us is having it quarterly. We do it as a collaborative effort. And, that's what's working for us right now. And that's our next one is tentatively scheduled for May 27th.
Right on. And where can everybody send submissions for the Anger Management Reading Series?
I guess we can officially open submissions tonight. What the hell? I'll just do it. I'll just announce it right here on the thing. You can send your submissions to, and I know some people, are not comfortable with this, but
just give it out.
The email address is ericcavender@askcactus@yahoo.com.
Nice.
ericcavenderisanassascactus@yahoo.com. And if not, just find me on Facebook and ask me, and I can send you the address.
Right on. I would like to mention also that Frank Reardon has called in. Magically,
right.
Yeah, right. As soon as we start talking about anger and anger management, here comes Frank Reardon. I think that's very poetic. And Frank, I mean, what do you think about being a poetic entity floating in the vapors like you do? I mean, how does that make you feel?
It's all about love, man. It's all about love. Everything's love now. There's no hate or affectuses anywhere.
Exactly.
All love, man. All love. I don't hate you anymore, Metro. I want to get some of that Astroglide that Lynn was talking about a while ago.
You brought out the Astroglide. Wow. Hey, very classy.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't know why Paul Norman Roberts is calling in tonight, because he's supposed to be, that gay ghost of Ginsberg. I prefer that.
Oh, I thought you had been reading Allen Ginsberg, Frank. It sounded like you've been reading some Ginsberg tonight.
Yeah, he's been smoking some Ginsberg. I think we've all been smoking some Ginsberg.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Hey, man, you tried the Ginsberg yet?
That's some good shit.
Oh, yeah.
Ginsberg. Right. You know, you should call it that. You should.
I'm totally calling my weed Ginsberg from now on, straight up.
Metro, next time we hang out, we got to remember that one.
Me and Michelle will be smoking some Ginsberg on the back porch. Thank you. And got to put on my Kentucky accent for that. Anyway, Frank Reardon.
What?
How are you, brother? How you doing, brother? You doing good? You feeling all right?
Who's that?
That was Bill Cosby. Don't make me break out Bill Cosby, man. You saw
was that Bill Cosby? I don't know what Bill Cosby that was, man. That was like Bill Cosby
was
smoking crack or something.
That was Bill Cosby on crack. How you doing?
You're supposed to talk about Jell-O pudding pops, man.
Man, I can't do it tonight. I've been smoking too much Ginsberg. I can't be talking about that.
Hanging out in your shorts. Fighting the man, doing all that kind of stuff.
You don't have enough Astroglide in the world, Frank Reardon. That's all I got.
Dude, I own Astroglide.
I'm sure you do. How about you read us a poem there, Astroglide?
No.
Come on, man.
I don't know. How much time is left in this show? Oh, 22 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, come on, read something, dude. Come on.
Damn.
He doesn't have to. He can
it's
just.
It's an open mic
just
show. Why are you gonna call in and read? Come on, Frank.
I'll read someone else's poem though.
Okay. All right.
This is called "Dream Song Number 14" by John Berryman. Life, friends, is boring. We must not say so. After all, the sky flashes and the sea yearns, we ourselves flash and yearn. And moreover, my mother told me as a boy, repeatedly, ever to confess you're bored means you have no inner resources. I conclude now I have no inner resources, because I am heavy bored. People bore me, literature bores me, especially great literature. Henry bores me with the plight and gripes as bad as Achilles, who loves people with valiant art, which bores me. And the tranquil hills and gin look like a drag, and somehow a dog has taken itself, its tail considerably away into the mountains or sky or sea, leaving me behind. Me, wag. That's it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Nice.
That was John Berryman.
What made you pick that, if you don't mind us asking?
I don't know. I was watching him, a reading of him on YouTube. I got
his full collection of poems, and I'm completely blown away by his stuff, and I've been reading it a lot, and I just watched some of his interviews on YouTube or something before, you know, he jumped off a bridge and killed himself, and I just thought it was a fantastic reading he did, and I gave it no justice, but I just had it on my computer, so I just thought I'd read it.
Wow. No, excellent. Excellent. I actually went to the Albuquerque Public Library, last month looking for some stuff by him. I have to get in special order there, but...
You could probably get it if for, like, a couple of dollars on Amazon, if you had a couple of dollars.
I don't have no dollars, Frank Grinnan. I got free cracker sleeves and...
I ain't got no dollars.
Yeah, Berryman's collected poems 37 through 71. Like, I don't know, I've just been writing kind of longer poems lately, and I didn't really feel like sitting here for 10 minutes reading one. I'd rather have my time making fun of you.
Awesome. And that's what
I
it's
agree.
All about. Well, yeah, of course. Of course.
It's a
I
short
agree.
Poem in Smack Talk format, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you have some short pieces you just put up today.
I just wrote those like 10 minutes ago.
See, like, I really liked it.
They're just five haikus, and I called it, I'll read it, take me 2 seconds. It's called Five Piece Haiku Meal. Number one, within the empty form, winter ends, dawn begins. I throw the pencil into the trash. From here on, I'll speak to the mountains man to man. Still writing poems, I go for a walk, hear the birds, and lose my appearance. Bears rip apart salmon flesh, flaming poems float down Lipo's wine river. Oh, cold North Atlantic, I too have thrown myself upon the edges of eternity. That's five little haikus. There you go.
I thought those were really cool. We just, well, you know, because I just saw them a couple minutes ago, right before I...
So I wrote a piece the other day that I personally thought was the best thing I ever wrote, but it's just damn too long to read, and I'm just going to read it maybe next time you do one of these things. I don't have the gusto for it when...
Well, no, I don't. Hey, you know, whatever.
Well,
you
maybe
guys
if Frankie
want.
Sent over a little of his
Astroglide. I was waiting for somebody to make the joke, and I thought it would probably go too. So.
Well,
I haven't heard
Metro,
Paul
are you
Coleman Roberts for a while.
Are you offended about the Astroglide?
I'm completely offended. I'm always offended when Frank Reardon comes on. I think that's just a general rule. That's our rapport. Is I'm offended, and he's just nasty. And that's the way it works.
I'm not nasty. I'm
you
a good
are.
Guy.
He's not. He's not.
I'm a
oh
good
my
man,
God.
Man.
Can't there be room for more than one Frank in the literary underground, for God's sake?
No.
My name is really Frank, though. My name is Frank.
You know what?
You know what? Back to Franklin. Because Franklin is actually not my name, so you
I'm
need
not,
to go back to
I am not calling my, you know who made me call myself Frank Reardon was Facebook. I'm tired of all these F-bombs being dropped on me in the middle of the show. I'm speechless, Frank Reardon. I'm appalled,
why?
As always. Because you're just, you have such a... I don't even know...
Like Ginsburg?
I'm so Ginsburg'd right now.
He's so Ginsburg'd right now.
You've been smoking Ginsy.
Yeah, I'm too Ginsburg'd, guys. I'm sorry.
I hear you.
I will go ahead and tell everybody that we have 15 minutes left, or actually 16 minutes and 7 seconds, whatever, of live streaming. I'm going to call in. It's 805-856-2808. And there is a chat room open. We did have Cyrus in, so he went bye-bye, so that's completely open right now. That's what I love about the chat room, is you get to work on your one-liners, specifically with yourself. And
I'm afraid to go in there because I'm afraid this Blog Talk Radio is going to like explode. It just got crazy earlier. I mean, it was like different callers popping up, and then it kept throwing me off. And I'm afraid to touch anything. So
you know what? It's obvious that Blog Talk Radio has it out for you, Lynn Alexander.
Yes, and it's obvious.
I think it's considered sexist, to be honest with you.
I am sexist. I am.
Yeah.
I am. It's a fact. It's been substantiated by a number of people. I've been called out for it.
Many times,
yes.
And it will be
anytime.
Continued to be substantiated as you...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Frank Reardon, do you think I'm sexist?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know you well enough.
Yeah. Frank Reardon doesn't know about sexism. He doesn't know about all.
You don't have that, Dakota.
No.
He hesitates to say. He doesn't want to say.
We don't have people to have sexism.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
I build snowmen and I pretend that they have sexism fights.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Snowman,
I talked to both of them.
Snowman with gender confusion.
It can happen to anybody.
Guess what fun this is, kids.
You gotta have fun somehow every now and again, and it is winter time. Hopefully, everybody is staying warm with their sexist other person.
Their Astro Bud, their Papa Smurf.
God, no more puzzles. I'm going to bring back in Mr. Nathan, who's been hanging out with us for 30 minutes, and I really appreciate him hanging out with us. This guy's really cool, and I really dug his poetry earlier. But I think you should read another one, and since it is an open mic show, that's what we do.
We do whatever we want to do.
We do whatever we want to do. I feel like doing this. And I'm going to let it do what it do. 614, it looks like it's on
you
right now.
All right. I try to do whatever I want to do, but the police often stop me. So there you go.
Amen.
Yeah, it's been fun. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we
can hear you, brother. Definitely.
This is called Famous Entrepreneurs. This is part of a series I did, Famous Entrepreneurs. This is Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's. Ray Kroc divided the loaves, soft bread for a nation with bad teeth. Ray Kroc took his place beside you. There was awkward silence at the urinal. You had opinions about meat. Ray Kroc fingered the keys, tapping a few sad notes. A crowd of pigeons descended on the piazza. This is a city of gristle and paper cups. Here, every ambulance driver wears grease paint and a scarlet nose. This is an empire of air conditioning. Here, the hours grind and the scent of boiling grease patrols the parking lot. This is Pickerington, Ohio. The heat swims above the drive and dwindle into the horizon. One by one, we take our turn and swell. That's the end of that.
Yeah.
I like to have fun with words.
Oh, it was good.
I'm
actually glad you brought up the awkward silence at the urinal. Frank Reardon.
Yeah.
I would like to ask Frank Reardon how many times in his life he experiences that awkward silence at the urinal.
What?
How many times?
I met each other once at a urinal. No? Is that wrong? No?
Nice.
Maybe not.
I don't
okay.
know, man.
Frank Reardon, do you ever have awkward silence at the urinal, dude? Like when you're standing there? Another dude?
No, I'm always trying to hold in a fart when I'm at the urinal.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
I like to make conversations.
Hey, isn't that the place
nice.
To do it? Like, why...
not know, when it's like little... Not like when it's like after a movie and there's a bunch of little kids in there.
Yeah,
yeah, but
like,
if not
feel,
there,
oh,
where?
Man.
I'd feel awkward.
Where is
go
he?
In there when there's a bunch of little kids. I don't know. You shouldn't go in there.
Yeah.
Where is the optimal place, Frank Reardon? Like on a mountain in Maine?
Yes.
In my living room. It's fine.
Nice.
In a ceramic.
When I walk by my rabbit cage. I have a rabbit in my house. So.
Do you do it in the rabbit space, or do you just? I mean, do you just? It just happens to waft in that general direction, or?
No, it's kind of like just sitting there and I stand up and I kind of give it a little...
Why?
About it. I don't know, because I'm retarded. But I don't know.
That's the rabbit. People probably come to visit and the rabbit probably like tries to get their attention, like, save me, get me the hell out of here.
Okay, but it's like this rabbit sits next to me 24 hours a day. Like, I sit here and type. And it just sits next to me.
Yeah, probably. It probably writes call 911 with its like rabbit shit. Get me the hell out of here.
Can I probably
imagine the
911
operator? Oh, it's that fucking rabbit again.
Yeah, right.
But when I do talk to the rabbit, it turns around and puts its back to me and stares at the wall instead. So, that is true.
It shuns you.
Yes, rabbits are known to shun you. So
yeah, well, do you blame the rabbit, Lynn Alexander? I mean, honestly, do you blame the rabbit for shunning Frank Reardon? Let's just be real. Come on.
Who gets the blame?
Well,
is it a matter of blame, or is it a matter
given
of...
what you've described as, you know, your treatment
of the rabbit?
Come on, you're
talking about Astroglide. That was the first thing he was talking about when he came on there.
Oh, right, of course.
I would shun him, too. I do shun you, Frank.
But it's not a matter of relationship.
It's not.
Metro's going shrimping?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No, I mean...
Or is he teabagging Paul Corman Roberts?
Oh, see. I knew you'd go all Republican on me right now. We got another caller on the line. We're going to see who this is because it's an unknown caller. We have 8 minutes left of live streaming.
Where's him?
I think this may be Mr. T.M. Tim Murray. It may or may not be. We will find out. Caller on line.
Script is the black test for D with you. See the confidence at the end of the 40 age movies. Eastern characteristics, 100 million presses under the grudge, which appears homosexual, sharp homosexuality. The case where, but this will happen in the person. Psychosis under the map is used, a homosexual psychosis with method. Is accidental with method, the compulsive complex, which a only will happen only is good young psychosis with characteristic. With her time, the good people will happen, and the assaulted enough to make form inside the person from inside fag with the characteristic where it is presumed in good from the person. Obsession goes out mainly in the world and the duration, which is presumed from the man the people accidentally this does with method and severely without... and which specifies is incorrect from the colloquial style, man, also the realness, which is different to conduct the colloquial style, which is presumed also fag disorders, accidentally from the man.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. Bravo.
I'm mesmerized. I'm like mesmerized.
Holy shit. What the fuck just happened? Hello, caller.
Yes.
Yes, hello. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
That was a very, yes.
Can I, I'm calling your television station.
Is this, David Lynch? This is David Lynch.
David Lynch?
Yes.
David Lynch.
David Lynch.
David Lynch.
David Lynch, can you explain your transmission there from... I'm completely mesmerized by that. Where did that come from? It seemed like it came from left field, actually.
It was in the on-deck circle.
Oh, okay. Is that like near the Bermuda Triangle, maybe?
It's near. They have a sighting of Bigfoot.
All right, sighting of Bigfoot. Great.
Wait, you mean like Sasquatch?
Yes, ma'am. Like Sasquatch, because I saw Paul Corman Roberts in in a bus, driving a bus. In the East Bay with the Sasquatch.
He was totally hanging out with Bigfoot. You know what?
Yeah.
Do you know he was having gelato with him? Did you know
gelato?
That Paul has a tendency to take people in the East Bay to get gelato?
What is gelato?
You know, gelato is a, well, of course, it's a frozen dessert that, you know, you eat with a very tiny spoon.
Yeah.
Do you have a very tiny spoon?
I have a very tiny spoon.
You do.
I'm hypnotized. I got to be honest with you. You Ginsburged me on the air. This isn't even the Draconian Vampire Tunnel, and this stuff is happening already.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on your show. Are you running out of minutes?
Where can we find you, David Lynch, mystery caller?
David Lynch.
Tim Murray.
Hello.
Frank Reardon?
Yeah.
This is David Lynch now speaking. I was really really enjoyed the fact that you shared that you shared John Ashbery with everyone earlier.
You mean John Barrowman?
No, the John Ashbery poem that you read.
John Barryman poem I read?
Yeah, the John Ashbery one that you read.
Wow. You know what?
Concept eyeball. I have a concept leg. I have one time the concert pirate set complete with rubber whale creature. I hit the rubber whale creature with a round of black rubber teeth on a crackly anthill Hoosier sidewalk one day in 1984 and 1953. One time, no, five times, my mommy took me to the drugstore with a brown bag of TV tubes that daddy asked was to test on a crazy cuckoo robot machine. And mommy tried to plug the various sized tubes into the machine and it didn't light up and she said, shit. And I covered my mouth with one gumball-stained hand, and none of our fuses were good, and said the pharmacist, and Mommy buyed me a box of Smith Brothers cough drops to crunch on the ride home. And Daddy at home with a back of TV removed waiting for tubes, but Mommy tells him, the tube's no good, says pharmacist, and Daddy says, son of a beach. And he tossed screwdriver in the toolbox with a clank, and then I forget what else happened. Oh, yeah, then the toothless rubber whale creature farted, and Daddy said, what stinks? And Mommy said, we can no afford new tubes until payday in 1 week. And Daddy said, no shit, Sherlock. Then Mommy baked a frozen pizza for dinner. And then we ate it, Daddy, Mommy, brother, and I. And then Grandpa said, we can come over to watch TV until we get some tube money. And that way we know Miss Knott's Landing and Airwolf and Dukes of Alf with Paul Coleman Roberts. Were you singing,
It's a sing along, Tim Murray. Sing along.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Every night. Right on.
Yeah. I'm feeling the love. Frank Reardon, you did bring the love into this room. And
I told you.
And just put Astro Glide on it. So, it's good.
This is David Lynch coming to you from the Draconian Underground Library.
Ooh, I want one of those. Ooh.
With Paul Coleman Roberts, Frank Reardon, Frankie Napopoulos, and Glenn Alexander.
Good night.
Are you singing in the background?
Boys?
I think she's singing.
Who's singing in the background? I'm like a ventriloquist.
Like a Tim Murray
epiphany. Then they I mean, it's a Tim Murray epiphany.
Oh, no, that's slam poetry.
That is slam poetry in the background.
No, it's not.
It sounds like
awful slam poetry. When Lynn was releasing all of those CDs in the 90s of slam poetry.
Yeah. Like, that's me.
thought I heard the word Papa John's on there, and I'm not going to have that.
No.
You
got yourself a shitty prize.
You throw up when you eat Papa John's.
I agree. We want to be chosen. From your butt. Proud under by a
belligerent culture. No. How can you have vomit?
Well, we are now out of live streaming. We are now in after hours. And I would like to personally invite Mr. David Lynch to come to Drag Queen Vampires on tomorrow night. I think it's great. Have you on there. Before they run
for it, ain't nobody twitching.
Yeah.
3 seconds, one, what is this other show?
It's same place tomorrow. So
what is
you might catch Tim Murray there. I don't know. Do you know Tim Murray, David Lynch?
Is Tim supposed to be a guest tomorrow? I believe he is, right?
It is a battle, actually.
A battle?
It's a battle. Your orange, your little facial
metal, the rust. I'm getting tired of Lynn Alexander's slam poetry.
I don't know, man.
Slam poetry.
I don't know if anything I do would be considered slam poetry. Stoner poetry, sounds like.
Oh, nice.
Not that I Ginsberg or anything. You know,
oh,
but,
you Ginsberg all the time, Lynn Alexander.
But I will say that it was very cool to see Tim in his play. I think we, we had a pretty cool time.
Tim and his Sorted Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Tim Murray is a man of many lives and many faces, many voices. Many personas.
Right. So that was in the that was actually my ode to Tim Murray that was going on looping back there.
I didn't hear a single word of it. All sort of this ridiculous feminist, sort of angry feminist slam poet.
Is that what it sounded like? Well, I'll read it to you, okay? But you know what? It's like I do this like fake Southern thing, which is really.
So terrible. Why would you read a poem about Tim Murray to David Lynch?
I don't know why. Because of his sordid lives.
Yeah, go ahead.
You ready, Tim Murray? Anyway, yeah. So there we was in the dark, like inventory rows, deep like rotating stock, putting our informational labels to the front like we want to be chosen, plowed under by a belligerent usher, our scattered grouping like a bed of bulbs poised for light, like some Tim Murray kind of springtime, facing that stage, shapes in the dark diorama, the suggestion of a table, the scrape of a prop, scene shit all getting dragged into place, bustle, then the calm, stop. Y'all are like the locusts in their off years, like peak meringue, like stiff mice before they run for it. Ain't nobody twitching. There's those 3 seconds. One, two, three. In the seconds, collection, tension, inevitability, stuff between that two and three. They go from something they resemble to like this Tim that we can see. Lights on, like a Tim Murray epiphany. Then there you are with that beard, that tinge of orange, your little facial nettles of rust. That beard you best never remove or we will spank you. Then you just get the fuck out there and you do what you do. That's it. That's Tim Murray.
That's beautiful. But I do have a the tinge of orange and the chairs being dragged, putting the various scenes in place. And also, I do have a confession to make that after the character of Odell had run its course and the show had closed and it was a wrap, I did immediately shave the mustache.
Did you? You do have a tinge of orange, though.
Yeah.
In your beard. You do.
Yeah.
It's a fact. It's an observable fact.
Women usually really enjoy that.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. Oh. Woo. Oh, man. So much love and Astroglide and Tim Murray dioramas.
Send that to Tim Murray.
Tim Murray.
Send it
to him.
Where is Paul?
He dropped off after David Lynch came on the line, actually.
Send it over. Well, I called him out on the East Bay Sasquatch thing, and he scrambled. But, please, if you could send that over to me, I would enjoy a hard copy edition of that. Type it.
Okay.
Put it in the post. I'm available in the post.
Should I affix a first-class postage stamp to...
Well, they have those forever things, you know? You put a couple of those on there, and, mail that to me. It would be wonderful. Is Frank Reardon...
Yes?
I think, did we lose Frank Reardon? Or did we scare him away?
I'm an awestruck that I'm speaking to David Lynch.
Yeah. As you should be.
I had never heard David Lynch's voice before, and I'm amazed that you would feel like you were comfortable enough to call into our program and talk about Tim Murray.
That's, oh, absolutely. I'm what you would call a long time caller and first time listener, you know.
Nice.
Well, you know, he's, you know, I think that we're worthy of David Lynch's time, don't you?
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. If anybody is, why not us?
I was kind of drawn in by the John Ashbery poem that Frank Reardon was so kind to have shared with everyone.
You mean the John Berryman poem?
Yeah, John Ashbery. And and I heard that. I was just kind of scrolling through the blog talk land and looking for gravy recipes, as you have it. And do you guys ever make, you know, gravy in a skillet, you know, in a frying pan?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Tim,
you've cooked some meat.
It's all in the deglazing, you know.
Well, you make a slurry, you know, a little bit of flour and water. And,
I don't know that that's called a slurry.
Yeah, well, you Google that.
Slurry, I will, but I do not. Yeah, I don't think it's called a slurry.
Yeah, it is a slurry. It's absolutely a slurry. And what you would do is would add the slurry to the juices and then the scraps of meat from the skillet after you've cooked. Add it to the skillet and add a proportionate amount of milk and stir ferociously until it boils.
Nobody puts milk in a gravy.
You're full of shit. Look up the slurry.
First of all, the temperature that you have to get it up to deglaze the pan of the... you would burn the milk. It would be scalded. So that's not
nonsense.
Even...
Absolutely.
That's not
nonsense.
Even... It's true, because the temperature for milk to scald is pretty low.
Absolutely.
And you would never achieve the proper deglazing technique on your cookware if you didn't turn it up high. Yes,
I'm
I think
about
that
the cookware.
No, but you wouldn't achieve the correct... It's not the correct procedure. I hate to argue with you, but it's not. You would scald your milk if you
obviously,
tried to do that.
Obviously, you don't hate to argue with me.
Obviously, I don't, but I'm going to say that I do just to argue with you. See, like if Frank was cooking his rabbit, for example, just suppose. Not that I'm saying
right.
he would.
No.
But, you know...
All right, let's just say they're pork chops. It's meat variety, and they're in the skillet. I'm done cooking, and I'm going to remove the pork chops so that they can rest a moment, and I'm left with the aftermath of that. And did you Google slurry?
No.
I don't need to Google slurry because the next step is that you have to deglaze the pan.
What is this deglazing?
It's when you use a wire implement or a whisk and water heated up at a high temperature, and then you scrape the pan drippings and you dissolve it with high heat.
Absolute nonsense.
That's why your milk won't work.
Ma'am? Please, son of a bitch, this is not... This is not the direction I want my country going in. When the feminists take over, there will no longer be milk in gravy.
Or in your coffee.
Or in your coffee or anywhere else for that matter.
No Astroglide.
Well, we can do without the Astroglide, but I'll be damned if I stand by and let milk be taken out of gravy like this on a Blog Talk video show. I'll be damned.
Well, I'm glad you're with me because this is getting down to... Actually, the longer Lynn talks, she begins... The fangs come out. You can see the animal that she actually is and how she would destroy this country in a heartbeat. One fell swoop, and oh, there goes the fucking milk and the gravy, everyone. Today,
yeah,
today they came for the milk and my gravy. Tomorrow they'll come for Grandma.
Right. I'll take her Social Security away and throw her ass in a down the stairs and yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you're gonna come for Brother Boy, and you
yeah.
I'm not Brother Boy.
In the
no.
Back of the institution.
You leave Brother Boy alone. Excuse me, sorry.
And I'll go to the East Bay and get Bigfoot.
Yeah, this is nonsense. Because I know I have a pork gravy recipe that I'd like to share with you.
Please.
I gotta fucking Google all the shit that I asked Lynn to Google.
I ain't your secretary.
Now, do you ever use evaporated milk in your gravy?
I use evaporated milk actually all the time. I actually prefer it now, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I
use it a lot.
On?
Yeah.
Oh, you actually use it all the time?
All the
Frankie,
time.
I had it in Chicago. You didn't even. Did you know I had it? You could have used
that
it.
The I didn't even. Was that condensed? Oh, wait, we drink condensed milk? Is that a different thing?
Evaporated is different than condensed, yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
What were you using the evaporated milk for?
I wasn't, apparently.
I use it for my for beverages, coffee. And, you know, I'm a big oatmeal eater, and so I actually prefer it with my steel-cut oats. Do you approve of that, Tim?
Can I please read you a poem?
Yes, please.
Since this is an open mic.
It is.
This is a poem, actually, this is really what you would call a found poem. And the title of this poem is Pork Gravy Recipe. Now first, bake or fry the pork chops in a pan which does not have the kind of nonstick surface which will be damaged by metal implements. When the chops are fully cooked, remove them and place the pan on the stovetop at medium heat. Leave all the grease and dripping in the pan. Make 1/4 cup each of sifted flour and plain water. Stir into a smooth slurry. You see that word there? Slurry,
mm-hmm.
Which was a mixture of flour and water. Pour the flour water slurry into the pan and stir into the drippings to form a paste, which will immediately begin to brown. Add enough cold milk to bring the total volume slightly higher than the amount of gravy you want to make. Heat to a rapid boil while stirring continuously, scraping any bits of meat off the pan with your fork. While boiling, add salt and pepper to taste. Reduce heat to a simmer. Allow to simmer for 10 to 15 minutes, stirring occasionally. Remove from heat and allow to cool for 3 to 5 minutes. Stir again, pour into a gravy boat, I call it a shuttle, and serve. In cold.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Yes, that was a great poem.
I'm sorry, Frank. I'm sorry to upstage John Ashbery with that. But,
Who's John Ashbery?
Evidently your favorite poet.
I still don't know who he is.
English.
Am I still talking to David Lynch?
No, this is Daryl Strawberry.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I was going to tell David Lynch his, like, movies have sucked lately.
Oh, well, that may be, but Daryl Strawberry, on the other hand. Now, Lynn Alexander, do you stand corrected?
I disagree. I still think that you will scald your milk.
Can you please, would be willing, could we trade poems in the mail? I would like the Red Whisker poem, and I could send you this foul poem, if you will, or gravy, and I will send it to you, and I would like you to try it out.
Okay, I will concede, though, that they did, in fact, use the term slurry, and I thought slurry had a different usage, but they did use slurry, so I
thank you.
I am wrong.
Milk and slurry. I would just like you to try this found poem in your own life.
Do I have to share the results, like my findings with you, like report back to you? Like,
yeah, just
and
write
say,
a review for Red Fez Entertainment.
What, like, dear sir, I attempted your gravy recipe, you know, on March 3rd or whatever. What, your the review joke?
Yeah, there's never mind. Frankie Metropolis has veins popping out of his skull, probably. I'm very, very sorry.
He
when did
Daryl
Strawberry become a British gentleman?
Who?
When did Daryl Strawberry become a Brit? When did he become a British gentleman?
I've never even
He's
heard
already
of Daryl
forgotten.
Strawberry. I've never even heard of Daryl Strawberry.
Did you just say Daryl Strawberry? You were Daryl Strawberry 2 seconds ago.
No,
it was John Asbury.
No,
he was John Ashcroft.
John Ashcroft, yes, famous poet.
Yes.
He's what you would call a, I don't know, maybe a...
He's from Lowell, Mass.
Yeah, it's Lowell, Mass.
Yeah.
Frank Metropolis, in the Metropolis household... I was wondering if anybody ever ventures into the world of gravy making. Perhaps either
Sean.
On a literal or figurative plane. I think the host is gone.
He probably went to bed or
he probably went to go make some gravy.
Yeah,
he went to find Ginsburg.
He went to find to make a fine slurry in his kitchen.
He went to go. Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I can't end the show without Frankie, so it's just going to go on forever until he gets back.
It's going to go on.
It's like,
while you guys kept talking supper. About gravy, he got hungry because
like,
he was stoned.
It's like radio purgatory. We can't get out of it until he ends
well,
it.
Well, we'll depend upon the prayers of the living.
Oh my gosh! Well, you know what? So, what's going on tomorrow? Is I think that tomorrow is Red Fez Radio and also Vampire Tunnel, right?
Yeah. Red Fez Radio will be on the air around 11 o'clock, I guess. A 30-minute show, 15-minute overtime usually. There's no guest, so it's just be a typical Red Fez show, probably. After that, I was invited to hang out with Frankie if the Vampire Draconian Underground Tunnel is closed for dishwasher machine service and trash removal. I was invited over there. I was supposed to have some type of showdown or show-off or something. And
a gravy throwdown.
A gravy shuttle passing, if you will, and if you're, I guess, you know, when the music stops, if you're holding the shuttle, you're out.
Why
also,
shuttle, not vessel?
I don't know. I don't like vessel.
What shuttle?
Why don't? Or a boat. Sometimes it's referred to as a gravy boat. I don't like boat either. What do you prefer? What would you use with your family passing the gravy around the table? Just pass the gravy, no matter what it was in.
I would say, Well,
please,
you know, I don't like gravy, so, you know.
Holy fuck.
I'm not a fan.
Frank Reardon, do you ever, you were an April Michelle Bratton or ever around the supper table, how would you ask for the gravy to be passed? Would you ask to pass the shuttle, the boat, the vessel, the bowl, the gravy, just the gravy?
The conduit?
There's never any dinner table, and we just make food and sit around the apartment and eat it. There's no passing of any gravy.
What do you mean you don't eat at a table? Wait a minute.
What do you eat?
Well,
eat out of each other's
sometimes
hands.
No, we eat at, like, I don't know, at the coffee table, I guess. The dinner table is, like, never used.
You just, like, sit in your living room and, like, watch TV and... Like,
no,
do you have little trays?
TV.
Do you have little trays, or...?
No, there's a giant coffee table.
Well, that's cool.
Do you get on the floor and sort of sit cross-legged?
The coffee table is level with the couch, so I just put it on the coffee table and I eat.
Beautiful.
And, like, sometimes I watch basketball and sometimes I listen to music, and that's about it.
But you don't pass gravy.
No, I don't usually make gravy. Unless you're Italian and you consider, like, sauce gravy, like Italian sauce gravy.
No, we're not
like
getting
Italian
off
gravy.
Right. I think for the purposes of this... Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about meat gravy? Yeah, sometimes we have that for, like, Thanksgiving or something.
Okay, so you're sitting around with the Reardon family, and it's time to pass the gravy. Your turkey's a little dry. And would you ask them to pass the shuttle, the boat, the vessel, just the gravy?
Just the gravy.
Can
I don't care what
the
gravy is. It could be in a freaking Dixie cup for all I care. Just pass the gravy.
Are you willing to demonstrate for us how you would ask a family member? Okay, right now, imagine your plate, cranberry sauce, stuffing, all the trimmings of a classic American Thanksgiving, and you want some of the gravy that's peering at you across the table. You elbow your cousin and say...
When your drunk ass stops drinking that beer, give me the gravy.
Wow.
But you don't specify what it's in.
No, you don't specify, like, the shuttle.
No, we don't. But I just say the gravy, because whatever the gravy's in, it's coming my way.
Okay. That's fair enough. I mean, when
I'm not
going to
sit there and be like, please pass the shuttle. If I said that, I hope someone would punch me.
Somebody probably would punch you.
I think
only Tim Murray talks that way.
He probably does. Everybody's, like, eating at his house, and he just all of a sudden busts out into some British accent. Will you please pass the boat, sir?
He's like Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, don't get me started on
Belvedere. Dressed
like
Oliver
Twist. Do
you
think the son is Marilyn Manson?
No, I think that was just a sort of one of those hoaxes.
Like an urban myth, maybe? Yeah, the urban legend.
You know.
Yeah, but apparently Marilyn Manson was supposed to be the brother of the guy from the Wonder Years, too. So that's an awful weird family tree.
Wow. A very talented family.
I hadn't heard that one.
You know, Paul, the nerdy one from the Wonder Years.
Oh, Paul.
But Miss
You.
Oh, the friend down the street.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah.
With horn-rimmed glasses.
Well, see, but I think he does resemble the guy from Mr. Belvedere. I don't really see that with the other kid. I don't know. It's hard to say because he has so much makeup and, you know, it's hard to say.
Is Marilyn Manson Tim Murray's brother?
Acquaintance, I would, you know.
He's on a bus with Paul Foreman Roberts.
Yeah.
With Big
He's on
Boy.
A bus? So
eating gelato.
Gelato.
Poor Metro's eating gravy somewhere now.
Yeah, I feel really bad. I didn't know he had the munchies, but I should always assume that he does have the munchies. And...
He does.
Maybe
he does.
Spilled some gravy on his hair, and he had to go wash it out.
He's got such cool hair. I just love his look. He really is. He's something, that Frankie. He... No. You know, we had the opportunity. I mean, I was very lucky because I got to spend an entire weekend with the guy. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, whereas Tim Murray, we only got to see for like an hour and a half at Applebee's.
Yeah, because he was too famous. Too famous to give you any time. He signed an autograph out the side of the theater.
He didn't even do that. No autograph. No.
My secretary writes all of those.
Yeah, he wouldn't even do that. No. I stood out
people
there with my little flyer.
People were kissing his ring like as if he was the Pope.
Yes, they were. They were.
Frankie is an enjoyable fellow, and I was attempting to have his wife as a guest on the Fezzery some Friday this month, preferably. Lindsay, are you out there? Yes, the hard-hitting questions, Frank Reardon. Is she a native of Chicago, Glenn Alexander?
I believe she is.
Does not respond to my inquiries.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should just try to, like, see if we could. I don't know how to disconnect it. I don't know. I'm not going to talk all night.
You just hang up.
We all just hang up and then it all goes away.
Well, because I'm actually a guest right now. I'm not called in as the host because I got cut off.
The show will expire when the overtime is done. And it'll all go off anyhow.
True. All right. Well,
how long is the overtime in this show?
Like 15 minutes, I believe.
The show ended like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. I love you all.
Okay. All right. Well, good night, and nice
night
to hear from you guys.
Yes,
and
it was wonderful.
Yeah. I think it probably ended, and we're just sitting here talking on the phone now, really.
Gravy shuttles away.